Turn the page, oh, shoot, don't turn the page. Let's sing, 120, Victory in Jesus. We're kind of doing acapella. You got to sing, sing out.
I heard an old gold story, how the Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory.
Was fine.
doing that. To me, there's a message in the song, too.
Yeah.
A lot of these songs, I believe Amazing Grace is one.
Amen.
I believe the Lord inspired
me. Amen.
So, forgive me on that part. Anyway, I wonder how many we got, prayer requests got by left gift of hands. Lord, see, that is a request, a special spoken request.
I work with a guy named Keith Henson. I don't really know him, he just works there, so I've seen him, but he's working on a car really easy. He fell on his head. They don't think he's going to live. He's praying for his family. He's 37 year old, I guess, just a few years and a wife. They need to pray.
You want to bring his former students. Now, the way I understand, shot himself over the weekend, or like in the first part of the week. He had a baby born the next day. I don't know what that deal is right there. But pray for that family. And just remember for those down at Claremont, you know, one died in that tornado down there for 3 or 4 years. I was over at King Newton Furniture picking up a load of furniture, and one of the guys come in and says, one of the cloth cutters over there was, had to go home because the tornado touched his house in Claremont. So I don't know if it's in that family or not. Be praying for those people. Remember Brenda. And remember, all was sick. Church is sick too. I guess Preacher Billy and Billy. Boy, I tell you what, my tongue's all out of here, ain't it? Remember those two. Remember Charles and Jerry. Remember Charles having a huge heat pad here lately. On this hip, I think. I might be wrong. Don't quote me on that. He having a huge heat pad. Any other special spoken request?
Brother Robert.
Robert, yeah. He's
had that serious. Here's my wife, she's got a good business where she's got abscess or something, or maybe she's got a place to come up real sore on her gum and all, and she's been going on for a while, but we switched the insurance, one thing about this is that time. She's going to live in this tomorrow. You know, let's pray that, you know, it all work out for her. She don't know she's nervous about it. I mean, I ain't been in this for 20 years, but I've avoided it. That's the reason for it. I don't like it.
I hate to be with somebody in your house.
Yeah, they already hurt you, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but pray for her, member of all the rest of the city. I know they're struggling. I've been here and they feel a little fine. I need to have that flu and folks over and everything else. This is me, pray for them. I got some unspoken requests too. I'm going to pray about it.
Yes, sir. Anybody else?
There's a friend of mine that I went to school with, and I found out she's the same age as me, she's 33. She's got about 4 days and a baby. She's in the hospital right now. She's on life support. She got flu and it hurt in the second molar, and put her on a ventilator, and she ended up going in the had three strokes and took her to mission about the time she got there, she was pretty much pregnant. The saddest thing is I don't think she is anymore. So it's pretty that you touch that animal. And Sandy works with your father. And his son, her son, is 22, Chris, her grandson, he's a little bit of cancer, and he's just huge. And he's got the doctor's car. I've never heard of that before, but he's still pretty bad today. This is 23 years old.
Oh, my.
And we're going to do that for like the most aggressive part of the season. So, y'all find something to do with that. And I've never heard about Alex with the mask out and morning. She can't take his baby home. You know, the baby. And that's a scary thing. So, you can do it.
Remember last week of the risk for infection or something. Also remember our friends one for a second. Five minutes and I'll get back to them in a bit.
Don't worry, I have those things too.
And remember Katie.
The Katie and Becky, if you do that. Everybody turns out well on that case to sleep up. This pain, yes. Fix to have another one. because them turns out real fast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hannah, she really got it too.
Who?
Hannah.
Oh, Hannah, yeah. Is she real sick, ain't she?
She did. She's got the same thing as Matt, but she can't win this not as well.
Yeah. Wait.
Thank you.
we don't know that he's got one of the most important jobs here. He's a hydration expert. Thanks. Thank you, Pastor Clay. Well, I want to give you an update. They've been praying about it, been talking about it since November. First November, been praying about it. Talking about, you know, having a youth rally and who gets to preach it. The Lord gave me peace about it this morning. And I called Preacher Curtis President. And he said he'd be glad to come preach for us at our youth rally. And I think most of you know who he is. He's a big man. You know, he's with Hope After Dope Ministries. We help him out. And we have a forward. I'm looking forward to that. And just haven't set dates yet. Just got to figure that out. But we'll be looking to do that sometime this spring. And I guess we'll do like we done last year. We'll do like a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night service, and then have a Saturday morning service with Youth Day following. But yeah, y'all just help us pray about that. And just continue to pray that the Lord will give us the right date that we need. As many could and would make it, have their hearts ready to hear the gospel, and it'll be a help to everyone. Not just, you know, we call it a youth rally because we are targeting our youth, because in today's society, Satan is certainly targeting our youth. And so we do want to target them with the Word of God and with the gospel, but it's beneficial to everybody. Amen. Amen. So we'll be looking forward to that and be praying about that. Let's see here. What else did I have for announcements? Did you ask Beth if the radio's working okay? Okay, good. I tell you, we've got a lot of folks sick. It's like that everywhere. Thank you, Noah. I really appreciate that. I don't want to get conspiracy theorist on you here, but I'm telling you, ever since COVID came around the first time, something happened to people. I don't know what it is. I ain't no doctor. But, I mean, it ain't hard to see. People used to not get sick like this. You know? I mean, can I get an amen? I mean, do we see this? You know? And I can't help but believe that, you know, there's, you know, forces at work that are against us. And undoubtedly, there are forces of hell and of Satan. But man plays a part in that too. But I know this, that it ain't outside of God's plan.
That's right.
And it ain't outside of God's will. And I know this, we can trust him through it. Yeah. And I tell you what, give it the worst case scenario. They have pre-planted us with a virus that's going to incubate and it's going to run its course in 3 or 4 years and half the population is going to be dead because they're worried about the environment. That's worst case scenario, right? Well, hey, I'm glad I know the Lord. I'm going up. That's the only place for me to go, amen?
Amen.
So like I said, either way, I'm trusting the Lord. I know he knows what he's doing. And I'm just saying, you know, it's probably not that bad as I put it. But I'm saying that that's a worst case scenario. It still works out for the Christian, amen? Right. It still works out for the child of God.
Winner either way.
All I'm trying to say is this. We can trust the Lord.
Yeah.
We ain't got to worry about this stuff. Amen? This ain't going to scare us. This ain't going to worry us. It ain't going to be something that keeps us awake at night worrying. You watch stuff on the news, you know, the devil, he likes to get you anxious. You know, being anxious and worried, that's a sin. To have peace and trust God gives us comfort. Satan don't want you to be comfortable. He don't want you to have peace. He wants to take it away. He wants you to worry about everything. He wants you to worry about your finances. He wants you to worry about political things. He wants you to worry about your health and whether your future and all these other things. Because the more he can get your mind on them things, the more he can get it out of the good word. The more he can get it out of focusing on serving God. But whenever he lets you have peace and you get where that you're not worried about them things, you get where you just trust in the Lord, it's a whole lot easier just to serve and just to follow and just keep on pounding out the gospel and giving people the good word and telling them about the love of Jesus. Satan don't want that. He don't want to see people saved. He don't want you to reach anybody with the gospel, so it gets you tied up, it gets you worried, it gets you concentrated on other things, it gets you distracted.
Amen.
He's just a magician. You ever seen what a magician does? They get you to look over here and they're doing something else over here. You've heard him talk about that in politics and everything else. Where do you think they learned that from? They learned it from their father. John chapter 8, Jesus says, you're your father of the devil. He says, the works of your father you will do. Because he was a liar from the beginning. He wrote not the truth, he's a murderer. Amen. In any case, all right, I'm done with that. That was
Well, I say no charge. I think the first person here always says, you got that extra charge. In any case, does anybody got a special song they want to sing tonight before we get started? Amen. Give us this. For the sake of your legs, we're going to read, starting in verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shall thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, and thou, my sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort, shall thou bring into the ark to keep it, them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of it tonight. God, to the preaching hour, I pray that you would anoint it and help us open our hearts, that we may receive your word and be glorified. May the name of your son Jesus be exalted. It's in his name alone we beg tonight. Amen. Now, go back up and let's look at this. You're going to find, first of all, we talked about Sunday morning about how Cain had rose up and slew Abel. And then there in chapter, at the end of chapter number 4, you'll find that they had another son named Seth. And that word, his name means one who was a replacement for Abel. And then we read in chapter 5, the generations of Adam through his son Seth. Whenever we read about Seth, you read the generations and the end of chapter 4 of Cain. But now in chapter 5, you read about the generations of Seth, the third son of Adam. Now he would have been the patriarch. If you don't know what the patriarch means, that means that he was the one whom that the covenant was made with. The covenant between God. Usually that would fall to the oldest son. But the oldest son had disgraced himself by slaying his brother. And so he was put out from among his family. He was put out on his own. And God gave him another son who was the patriarch. So you see how messed up mankind is. Whereas that the very first time that there ever should have been a patriarch, he was not able to receive the blessing or the covenant because he had messed it up so bad that it was then passed to another. But in any case, when we're talking about biblical patriarchs, that's what we're talking about. And we see how that for many generations after this, it follows the plan that God had designed, that it would fall to the firstborn son. And you can read throughout all the generations. And one thing we just want to look at and highlight, and most of us know this, is whenever we read about it gets to Enoch, and Enoch was the son of Jared. And in verse 21, it says, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 300.
365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This is where we see what would be the first rapture. Yes, that's right. He was taken in a bodily form. His body was not there. This is a type of the rapture. And notice this, if you will. We see a pattern here that as Enoch was taken, he was taken out well before the judgment of God fell on the earth, before the time of the flood. Now, mind you, Methuselah, now that was the son of Enoch. Now, he died the same. If you add up the years he was old, and you add up when he died, the year of the flood, he died the same year of the flood, or right there at it, okay, before the flood. But Enoch, he was taken out before God's wrath was ever going to be poured out on man, before it was even knowledge to Noah that he had 120 years to build this ark. Long before that, Enoch was taken out. In the same way, we can see a pattern how that during the time whenever God decides to pour his wrath out on this earth again, during those 7 years of tribulation, that he will rapture the church, he will take the church out before that time ever even begins. Now, the ark, when we get that here in a minute, that, considering eschatology, would be more like a type of Israel, where that they are carried through the tribulation period. During that tribulation period, we've talked about this, how that the Israelites, many of them will be saved. We know that there will be 144,000 men who are virgins who will be called to preach. They'll be saved and called to preach during that time. There will be 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And they will be carried through. They will be kept safe throughout this tribulation time. They will be preserved so that they can preach and so that they can do all these things. That is a type of Noah and his family being carried through that. And like I said, we're just going, these are just five things, but we're going through them. We just don't want to leave these stones unturned. But in any case, when we get here to chapter 6, we see that man has a problem. Now, in chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, it says, "It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took wives of all which they chose." Now, there's two popular interpretations of this scripture. The interpretation to which you take at this point is trivial. I will say that, like I said, I've listened to both sides of this argument, and it's not worth something arguing on. So I'm going to give you both sides of it, and you can figure it out for yourself. But like I said, it's not something that we would debate about. One way to look at it is whenever it says the sons of God, that it is talking about the godly lineage of Seth, meaning that they were men who followed God, sons of God, and they were the godly lineage of Seth, and they took daughters of the sons of men who were men of the world, who were worldly, and because that they were taking wives who were worldly wives or worldly women and of, you know, the world, and they were not of God, then the children that were born unto them became wicked, and so on and so forth. And that's why it says in verse 3, "The Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man." And it says, "There were giants in the earth in those days," in verse 4. "Now, so after that, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men, which were of men of old, men of renown." Now, another way that this is interpreted is that when it says sons of God, that it's referring to literal fallen angels. And the reason that they say that is because, you know, in Job, it refers to the sons of God the same way. We usually interpret that as being angels when the sons of God came before the presence of the Lord. And like I said, either which way you want to look at it, we're not going to get hung up on that. We're going to go on from there. But either way, this is what we know. This is the facts, and this is what matters. This is what matters pertaining to the gospel, is that there was wickedness spread upon the earth, that men were behaving in such a way that was contrary to the will of God. Now, either way that this was going to happen, we know that it's contrary to the will of God, right? So either which way, we know that somebody was messing up. But it was happening in such a way that violence and corruption had spread throughout all the earth. Let's skip ahead real quick and look at this right here. It says this in verse number 6. It says he repented. Let me back up to verse 5. It said, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Can you imagine what it had been like to be alive in Noah's day? We think we live in a bad time. We think You look around and you see what's on television and the things that we have to witness every day. And sure, we live amongst a wicked people and a wicked generation. But I want to say the Bible says that men's imaginations were only evil continually. Even the most wicked people that I know of do some good things sometimes. Right? Even some of the most wicked people I know of can somehow garner pity from me. I think about Joe Biden. I pity that man. I literally pity that man. He is pitiful. The man does not belong in the White House. The man belongs in a rest home. And I'm not saying that to be funny or make fun of him. I'm saying that he's got too much on his plate. He has got dementia or something that's wrong with him. It's obvious. You can see it. And they're using him like a pawn. He's a pitiful old man. And I feel sorry for him. Now, long before he is pitiful or any of that, he is a wicked, crooked politician. So he's always been wicked. But I still can have pity for him because of what he's going through. And in the same sense, I can have pity on people that are still doing wickedness because, like I said, I know that they're capable of doing some things good. But the Bible says that during this time that men's thoughts was only evil continually. I think about myself, and I think about how wicked I am in my heart and in my mind sometimes. I thought about that song, whenever we sing Amazing Grace in verse 3, and how that I said that that's my favorite verse because it says, through so many dangers and toils and snares, I have already come. And it says it is grace that brought me this far, amen? And I think about the grace of God and how it's brought me through some things. It's brought me through some snares that's been laid out in front of me. And I think about how wicked that my mind is and how grotesque I am. And I think about times whenever I wanted to do something that was wrong and I wanted to do something that wouldn't have been right in the sight of God. And if I could have got away with it, if I could have done it, then I would have done it. But by the grace of God, He kept me from doing it.
Yeah.
I was telling somebody the other day, I said, a long time ago, we had one car. It was a 1989 Buick Century. Had burgundy interior. Anybody ever had a car with burgundy interior? It's the worst color to have inside the car, especially in the summertime. Didn't have no air conditioning. And Stephanie was driving it, and she had Parker and his baby, and she got pulled over by Highway Patrol. And I tend to not like law anyway. I don't know. Maybe it's because I was born in this area. I don't know. But I was always taught, you know, don't trust law. But that's just, you know, the way we was taught and raised most of us. But in any case, this guy, he was a particular case. He pulled her over, and she was in the sun. Parker was in his car seat. He was in the sun. And she asked him, said, can I move the car? Said, you know, the sun's in here shining on my baby. How old was he?
2 months
old. He said, no, you sit right there. He kept her about 15, 20 minutes, and Parker got sunburned. He had blisters on his face. And that's my little baby. And all I could think is, here this guy is, he thinks he's some kind of high and mighty law, and he thinks he's above everybody, and he must get away with this, and there won't be no justice served. And so I started taking action, and I ain't gonna tell you what I've done, but I found out where he lived. And I, like I said, I wasn't preaching back then, don't be throwing out there or nothing. You know, this has been a long time ago. But I would have kept going had he not moved. And he moved where he lived. And I'd probably got myself in trouble and I'd hurt my life and hurt my testimony for some of the things I'd really do to this guy. Because to this day, there's times that I think about that and it still upsets me. If it's your child, you'd probably be the same way. It upsets you. But like I said, the grace of God kept me from that. Me, I would have still done wickedness. But you know what? There's still, as wicked as I my mind can be, there's still plenty of times that I think to do the right thing, right? There's plenty of times that you think to do the right thing. Even when I was lost, and even when I was undone, I said, what we went through over there, we was driving up the road, and we seen a car pull into a church parking lot raining donuts. I told my wife, I said, as wicked as I was in my life, I said, that's something I'd have never done right there. I said, I'd have never disgraced the house of God. I said, I knew better than that. Even when I was lost, there's certain things that I wouldn't do. But the Bible says that during this time, during Noah's time, it says that the thoughts of men's heart was only evil continually. That means non progressively all the time that men had their hearts set on doing evil and had their hearts set on doing violence, and that is what they desired and that is what they done. Can you imagine living in such a time as that? You couldn't even walk down the street. You couldn't even go nowhere without somebody trying to rob you and take what is yours. Hey, I want to tell you, we couldn't even begin to imagine what it would have been like to have been around at that time. But this is what it was. It says, and it repented the Lord in verse 6 that he had made man in the earth, and he grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, the creeping thing, the fowls there, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. We've seen that somebody else walked with God. And that was Enoch, right? And now we see it says that Noah walked with God. That means that he followed the Lord. That means that he had his heart set on serving the Lord. Now Noah, when it says that he was a perfect man, that means that that doesn't mean that he was perfect without sin. There wasn't one of them, and that was Jesus Christ. But it means that he was perfect in the sense that he was complete, that he was whole, that he wasn't lacking anything. That means that that there was nothing in his life that was stopping him from serving God. There wasn't nothing in Noah's life that come between him and the Lord. Now, you and I, we like to get the measuring stick out, right? And I talk about this a lot. And we look around and we see, people walking up and down. I was coming up Highway 18 yesterday. There's a man walking in the middle of the road. I ain't kidding you. He is a walking dead in the middle of the road. Had traffic backed up. He's coming up Highway 18, not past before, past y'all's house up there. And he had traffic backed up a long way down the road. And I passed by, and he's walking there. He had his chest puffed out high in there. And he just thought, I don't know what he thought. But he wasn't getting out of the way from nobody. And I had some ugly thoughts left there then too. But in any case, I didn't act on by the grace of God. I kept going. I just went over at it. I kept going on about my business. But in any case, he was walking in the middle of the road. We see people like that. And I don't know what kind of drugs that man's on, but he obviously wasn't in his right mind. And we see that kind of stuff all the time. You go to the Dollar General and you spend 30 minutes there, you're going to see something. This Dollar General down here, the George Hook Grand Mini Mall. If you go to Walmart, you're going to see some things. And we like to say and think to ourselves, even though we don't like to admit it, we do this. I'm better off than they are. I'm better off there. But imagine what Noah was around in his day. But the Bible said he was perfect, he was complete. He wasn't measuring himself against them, he was measuring himself against the one and only Almighty. Noah knew that he fell short. And he had a dependence on the mercy and the grace of God. That's why the Bible says this. It says that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. How do you find grace in the eyes of God? It ain't because you do things right. It ain't because you got all your boxes checked. It ain't because that you serving the Lord better than your neighbor and so on and so forth. It's because you have a dependence on the grace of God. It's because you have a reliance on the mercy of God. That's what we need. We need an absolute dependence on God's grace. That's what Noah had in his day. That's what he needed in his day. And he was facing a whole lot more wickedness than you and I are. And we need a dependence on the grace of God. How do you think Noah was able to live the Christian life that he lived, where the Bible says that Noah walked with God? Noah, he was not a sinless man. We know that he got drunk off of that wine. Whenever he stepped off of that ark, he was overwhelmed with anxiety. His family was the only family in the entire world. Wherever he went, whatever he looked for, he couldn't find anyone. There was nobody to talk to. There's not another grown man for him to sit and even talk about the weather with. And he was depressed. And he built a vineyard and he got drunk and he passed out naked in his tent. He was not a sinless man. But the Bible said that he was perfect and he walked with God. And so how was he able to walk with the Lord? It wasn't because he had self-control. It wasn't because he had just a little more willpower. It was because he was weak and he knew it and he had a dependence on the grace of God. Mm-hmm. We need a dependence on the grace of God.
Amen.
If you're going to get through this old sinful world, all the things you've got to see, and all the things you've got to hear, and all the things you've got to face, and every corner you go around, Satan's trying to corrupt you, he's trying to distract you, he's trying to captivate your mind. If you're going to make it through, and if you're going to be counted as a child of God and one that walks with God, you will not make it on your own strength. You will not get there because you just prayed a little harder. No, man, no, sir. It'll come from a dependence on the grace of God. Now, don't take out of context what I'm saying when I say it won't be because you prayed a little harder. I'm not saying prayer don't work. Prayer absolutely works. But I'm saying this. I don't like that song. I get that from a song. There's a song that plays on 88.1, and I don't like it because I know what they're trying to say. They're giving themselves credit. That's what they're doing in the song. It's giving them, it's giving the flesh credit. It says, but I prayed a little harder. I don't even know what song I'm talking about. You've heard me fuss about it before. My wife's heard me fuss about it before.
Yeah.
But it says, Satan almost had me, but I prayed a little harder. Yada, yada, yada. That's not where your strength comes from. It's not in you. It's in the Lord.
Right.
I promise you, it's in the Lord. I've tried to do it. I've tried to pray a little harder. I've tried and said, and I've got down and I've said, I've even prayed and said, God, I've done all I know to do. God, I've tried every which way I could. And I'm still in this old sin-cursed body. And you know what he told me? He said, son, just get down and repent and put the trust back in me. Son, just get down and confess to me. Because the same grace that saved you from hell is the same grace that will make you the man I want you to be. A dependence on his grace.
Amen.
Noah had a dependence on the grace of God. It says here in verse number 12, verse 11, it says that the earth was thought was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. God looked upon all the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. Notice some words here. The end. Let me back up here. Genesis in chapter 1, in verse number 1, it says, in the beginning. Y'all see how thick this book is? This far into it, he's already saying it's the end. That's how quickly man messes things up. That's how quickly we mess things up if it wasn't for the grace of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. That lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, hey, he had trust in the plan and the means that God had provided. He didn't know the name of Jesus, but he knew that he could trust God.
Amen.
And he had a dependence on God's grace. This far in, he's already saying it's coming to an end. And then he says this in verse number 14, or verse 13, he says, the end of all flesh. He said, the end of all. That means everything. The end of all flesh. He said he's going to wipe out everything that walked upon earth. You know what? If Noah wouldn't have found grace in the eyes of God, this entire planet wouldn't be nothing but fishes. The birds wouldn't even have made it. Not for 40 days and 40 nights. Wouldn't be nothing but fishes and alligators. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Some people said, you know, some people said that, I've heard some of these hippie types, you know, you got these pastors that's, you know, they wear the board shorts to church and they got their, you know, little sweatshirts on and they're all cool and they're do this and do that. And I've heard some of them types say that Noah, that God saved him so that he could preserve the animals because the animals were innocent and didn't deserve to die. I say, no, sir. Noah was created in the image of God. And he found grace in the eyes of God. The animals didn't find grace in the eyes of God. But because God chose Noah to repopulate the earth and to be the new father of all living, because that he was the single one that they were coming from, And he comes from Adam, of course, but because of that he was going to bring him in, he said, I'll give him something to cultivate. He said, I'll give him some. The animals were not, Noah was not for the animals. The animals were for Noah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's the way it's always been.
Right.
Because God loved Noah. Noah was a man that's created God's image. Noah loved every other individual that was living at the time too. And he would have loved to save them. But because they turned their hearts away from him and chose to live corruptly, and they chose their own way, the Bible says in Romans in chapter 1, it says that there's them that know better than to do such, that they know that they deserve the wrath of God, and they go on and they do it anyway. That's what these people done. We see that a lot today. The Bible says that he tells him here how to make this ark. And I've spent more time in this part than I wanted to, so I'm moving on. I'm not going to talk about how that he made the ark and all. Like I said, I don't want to leave any stones unturned. We might go back. We might look at that more deeply one day. But I want to move on. I don't want to be here. I might lose my voice. He says this. He says, in verse number 18, he says this. Verse 17, he went back up. He says, behold, I and I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Who is it that brought the flood? It was God. It wasn't the Chinese government, was it? It wasn't no Democrat, was it? No, it was God. Whenever judgment comes, believe you me, it's from God. I don't care whose hand signed the paper. I don't care who gave a speech on TV. I don't care who pushed the button, what they did. I'm telling you, when judgment comes, it comes from God. He said that I, even I, and what he's saying there is he says, me, and I'm acting alone in this. He said, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth. But he says in verse 18, but with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou, thy sons, thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee. And I wanted to get on, but I don't know if we'll get over there in verse number 7 in chapter number 7, verse 16. But we might get there. But he says this here in verse number 18. He says, I'll establish my covenant with you. I'm glad that even though I was living in a sin-cursed world, and even though that I wasn't complete, that I wasn't perfect, that I wasn't doing anything right by God's standards, I was part of that sinful world just like everybody else was. I'm glad God established a covenant with me. Amen. He gave me an opportunity to depend on His grace. And He said, Noah, you and your family, I want you to enter into the ark. This ark, this is a type of Christ. That they entered in on that ark. And it was their salvation. He says this, I will establish a covenant with you, and thou shalt come into the ark. Thou, thy sons, thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. God was sending judgment upon the earth. He's going to send destruction to every living thing. But to them that were on the ark, they were saved. One day, this world is going to be consumed by fire. There's going to be a day of judgment. There's going to be books open. There's going to be books read. There will not be a name that's ever existed that won't be called out on that day of judgment. There's going to be names that are there recorded in the book of life. Amen. There's going to be names that are recorded that have not made it into the book of life, but there's deeds that are recorded, and everything is going to be accounted for. I can't imagine that, you know, that judgment day, they call it. You know, we sing that song that it's going to be in 10,000 years, you know, when we ain't lost a day. You know, we sing that Amazing Grace, and, you know, when we've been there for 10,000 years, when we've been there forevermore, we have no less days to sing God's praise. I don't know here, if we was keeping track of it, how many years this judgment day is going to last, but it ain't going to be the average day. Can you imagine somebody gets a book out and they read you a record of your entire life? That would take longer than it did to live it. Literally. And that is going to happen. happened for every individual that's ever existed that's name is not found in the book of life. Now, if your name is in the book of life, you're passed from this judgment. There ain't going to be no white throne judgment for you. The judgment that we'll find ourselves at is sometimes called the Bema Seat. They get that from, or the judgment seat of Christ. We get that from the Greeks. They had a place where that they would set their champions and they would give them rewards according to all of their efforts and all their valors and all the things that they'd accomplished and done in the ring and whenever they were competing in the Olympic Games, and they would give them crowns and they would give them trophies and they would honor them. That is the judgment that awaits those of you, us that are saved. If you've been saved by God's grace, the only judgment you will face is one where that you will be awarded for all the service you've done to God. Why? You say, well, what about I've messed up here? I'll be in line with that. No, you won't. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible teaches us that our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. The Bible teaches that Jesus was the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. The Bible teaches us that we are the children of God, clothed in righteousness, that the grace of God has removed our sins. The Bible says that the writing of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, that he's taken it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and removing it. That our names are written in the book of life. I like how when the disciples come back to Jesus, they said, hey, they said, man, we got powers to cast out demons. We can tread over serpents and do all kinds of things in your name. This is awesome. And Jesus says, rejoice not because you can do all these things. He said, rejoice because your name's in the book of life.
Amen.
Amen. He said, I want you to enter into the ark. That's what Jesus done for you and I. We were living in a sin-cursed world where our lives were stained by sin. And the only thing that waited us was God's wrath and judgment. There'll be people that was alive at that time of that flood that's going to face that judgment. They face that flood and they're going to face that judgment one day. But for you and I, it's saved. We've entered into that ark. We've entered into security. We've entered into safety. Amen. I'm just going to go there real quick. Chapter 7 and verse number 16. It says, and they went in. Went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. There wasn't a man that could shut that door. There wasn't no man that could open it once it was shut. The Lord shut them in that door. We don't know the amount of time. We don't know the amount of occurrence to which God will deal with a man or a woman about being saved. But we know this, that there is a limit on it. The Bible talks about in Romans 1, those that have become, been given over to reprobate mind. We do know this, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't believe these stories you hear about people crying on the altar, begging God to save them, God wouldn't save them. That's not biblical. That's just some kind of emotion that's been drummed up. It goes against the Word of God, those stories. I don't care who told it to. It goes against the Word of God. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If God's dealing with you, he's willing to save you.
Amen.
You can't be a reprobate and set... If you're reprobate, one of two things. You're either following the atheism stuff. Well, I'm sorry, one of three things. You're either following the atheism thing, and you're so caught up in it, you become reprobate. Two, you're following some other religion, and you're so caught up in it that you become reprobate. Or three, that you truly believe that you're saved, but you're living some kind of sinful lifestyle, whether it be homosexuality, or adultery or whatever else, and it's gone going for a long time and you're unrepentant of it. Those are the three times, and that's what the Bible teaches. You read Romans 1, that's what you'll find. But I'm glad that I know him. It's not because I can look at myself and see how good I am. It's because I look at myself and I see how weak I am. How undeserving I am. And I see how good his grace is. I imagine that some of what Noah felt after the waters receded and he came to dry ground. We know that he was distressed, but he hadn't went into glory yet. He hadn't made it up there yet. If he'd have made it up there and been given that glorified body, glorified mind, he'd have been skipping and shouting and rejoicing. But he's still stuck on this old broken earth. And some of what he felt was this, that I'm sure he felt remorse. I'm sure he felt hurt. Now we know that he was a preacher of righteousness. And as he built this ark, and he spent 120 years building this ark, he preached to mankind. And he told them, he said, folks, it's going to rain. He said, folks, there's going to be water coming down out of the sky. Now, mind you, I didn't get to make this point either. I'm sorry. It didn't rain at the time. The Bible teaches that the water come up from the ground and watered everything. There was no rain that ever fell on the earth, not one ever time ever. And so these people thought Noah's crazy. They thought water's going to come from. It would be like me telling you that there's literally going to be cats falling from the sky. That's about as believable as what they were hearing. There's going to be water coming from the sky. How? There ain't nothing flowing up there. I still don't understand how it happens. I ain't a scientist. I don't think you could explain that to me. I don't think my mind is complicated enough to understand that. But I know this. God makes it rain if I see it happen. But they've never seen it happen. So as he's preaching, don't tell them to repent. God's going to destroy this earth in the flood. They said, yeah, it ain't going to happen. If it does, I'll have time. You know, I always figured, you know, that flood yesterday, we was rushing around. We was moving everything from down there at the barn, Dad's stuff, you know, and everything. He's got tractors and all that down there. We was moving all his equipment and everything up in the yard. It never did touch on the equipment, thank God. But we were in a rush to move it because I lived down there for nearly 10 years. And the whole time I thought, if the river gets out of the banks, it's got a long way to come all the way up here. You know. But if it ever is going to flood this farm, because supposedly it's in a 100-year flood zone or whatever. But I always thought, if it gets out of the banks, I got time. I remember thinking that. The morning that it flooded, it was 5:14 a.m. I'll never forget, it's 5:14 a.m. Whenever I made that phone call, I was backing out away from my house. My dog was barking going crazy, and I thought there was a coyote in the field. And I shined down there, and I could see it breaking out of the banks, coming toward the house. And I said, oh, man. I called work. It was 5:14. I said, I'm not coming to work. My house is about to flood. I called my dad. I said, get down here. I said, help me move some stuff. I said, it's about to flood. I went, beat on the door. Stephanie come to the door, rubbing her eyes. I said, honey, we got to get stuff out of here. It's going to flood. She said, I mean, is it going to come in the house? I said, yeah, it's going to come in the house. We rushed, we got all we could moved. And I remember stopping just to take a picture. I was standing in the water waist deep. And the water in front of my house, I was back up toward the building. In front of my house, the water was about this deep at this point. And I'm standing it up here waist deep. I took a picture. Later, I was looking at that picture. That picture was taken at 5:21 a.m. 7 minutes is how long it took for that water to come from down there at the river to cover that entire field, 10 acres, and being waist deep. That's how long it took whenever that flood came. People always think they got time. Mm-hmm. When I was lost, I thought I had time before that flood of God's wrath was going to come. I thought I'd have time to make things right. These people, they said, if it's going to rain or do any of this, we got time. But when God shut that door, it was shut and sealed. Noah said he heard them beating on that door. He heard them crying out and begging to get in there, but they couldn't get in there then because God had shut the door. And the time of his offering of grace, it was over with. Now, whenever we look at this, like I said, this is a type of Christ. This is the salvation that God provides. And we don't have to suffer for our sin. We ain't going to have to suffer for our sin, not because that we somehow made it right or fixed it. We can't. We fell short of God's glory. Noah, you wasn't here. I said I wasn't going to say it because I didn't want to give you a big head. But I used your illustration someday whenever you was talking about, you taught the kids and you just come out falling short of the grace of God.
or fall short of the glory of God. You know, use the different plates and how far before you can throw the ball. But in any case, we've all fell short of God's glory. Every one of us. And the only hope we got is the salvation God provides, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. I want to ask if there's anybody that needs to come to the altar tonight. If you're